and then we'll get started.
Sounds good.
Alrighty, everybody. I am joined by Rainlight for this episode of the WOMcast. I'm super, super excited. And just honored that he would join me here. And so, without further ado, we're getting started with Rainlight. For anybody who's in chat right now, I don't respond to chat while we're going, just so we can focus on the interview. And so here we... I wish I had like some big... You know what I mean? Maybe that'd be good to have like a podcast intro or something, but we don't.
You get some explosions in the background? Is that possible?
I think so. Yeah. Well, hey, dude, thank you so much for joining me. I'm super excited to have you on. I know just so we start off, a lot of times we go into kind of like some of the back end of people's lives and stuff like that. But Rainlight and I have talked about like privacy and where he's at with that. And so we're going to really cover a lot of really cool topics, but we won't dive too deep into, what exactly is all the background of Rainlight, because that is something that he doesn't necessarily share with people. So, which I totally respect and I think is cool. So I want to start off though. Are you ready? You excited?
Could I ask you one question before you get started?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I've gotten the impression, I've hung out with you for in your channel for quite a bit, but
uh-oh.
I've gotten the impression,
yeah,
and I just want to confirm, do you like strictly prefer being called Nick?
Oh, I don't care either way. So if I get called Wombat, that's totally fine, or Nick, whatever, is totally cool. So
okay. So I'm probably going to end up calling you Wombat by mistake, because I tend to call you that, but
no, that's totally fine.
I get the impression you prefer Nick though.
I could be wrong. I don't know. Honestly, either way is totally fine with me. I normally just say Nick. I feel like it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's easier for people to call me that sometimes, or they feel
I
feel like sometimes people, they call me Nick, like immediately when they find out my name, they're like, oh, I need to call him this now because that means I'm like closer,
right?
You know, now,
oh, that's cute.
Now he will give me mod, you know, now he will give me mod, you know,
and the endless powers that come with the sword and responsibilities. You got to remind people about the responsibilities.
Responsibilities, of course, because with great power, it comes the sword.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, well, hey, dude, I want to start off kind of talking about what got you into streaming. What really, like, when did you start streaming? Like, how long ago did you start streaming? That kind of stuff. What was the story with what made you kind of like hit go live?
It was a challenging decision at first. Actually, I was a little concerned about like privacy stuff and other things. But like, what really made me want to do it was that I have this very sort of deep and genuine appreciation for games that I don't see in a lot of other people. I'm sure other people have it in their own way or whatever, but I see games, especially as like a medium of entertainment, like one of the most incredible things with the most almost infinite potential. If we compare it to something like, say, books or films or any other form of medium for entertainment, games can do pretty much all the things that those things can do.
Yeah.
But it can do so much more because of the extra layer of interactivity, which exponentially changes what you can do with it. And it's just truly like limitless. I don't think we've even begun scratching the surface, despite how huge the games industry has become. And so I really, really enjoy them. And even when I do get into films and books, which I also really appreciate in their own way, I get really into it, like really immersed, and I love it. And I'm very analytical, and I kind of appreciate small things about it. And I wanted to share that joy, that appreciation of the small things a lot of people maybe take for granted or don't notice or whatever else.
Yeah.
Just because we're all different. Everyone processes these things differently. I wanted to share that joy with others. And that's kind of like what originally got me into that, as well as some community building stuff, which I wanted to do. And I'll get more into that later. But yeah, so that started about a year and a half ago, or 18 months, as you say, and how long ago your baby was born.
Yeah, dude,
you got to count it in months and weeks, bruv.
Dude, a side note, whenever that happens, like whenever like a parent says that to me, I'm like, why are you making me do the math? Like, why am I, why is there, I didn't have the kid. That's not my job to do the math. Like, why are you putting that
it's
on
practice.
Me?
It's practice. It's practice. You know, you just got to keep you on your toes. You forget algebra by the time you've left elementary school, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You got to keep it fresh.
Well, dude, I think it's really powerful to hear such a strong why from a streamer. I think a lot of times, like I get to talk with a lot of streamers doing this or just, you know, I mean, we always meet like streamers and stuff like that through like different, I don't know, networking opportunities or something. But I think it's interesting to see a lot of streamers are like, oh, I just wanted to go live. But I feel like I get the sense that you're the type of person that doesn't do things without really kind of knowing why and like kind of maybe even seeing steps ahead. Would that be correct, or would you feel that's kind of like some of it's right, some of it's wrong?
Yeah, no, that's very true. I'm a very analytical person. That's like part of my personality. So yeah. I tend to think about the whys of things a lot and really look into the little components that make up whatever system I'm looking at.
Yeah.
That's very abstract, but it kind of, it's because it applies to almost everything I do. And so yeah, I do think about it very deliberately and make decisions that way. And a lot of people aren't very analytical. It's not a slight on them. It's just everyone's different. People have different strengths and stuff. I'm not perfect at everything. And therefore they're not very good at answering the question. So sometimes they do it cause they feel like it's the right thing, but they themselves don't actually know. Same reason people often can't explain why they like, you know, a certain film or game or whatever. They can't properly explain why. They don't really know why they're experiencing it and that's happening internally, but, they're not analytical enough to figure that out. But that's one of the facets that I think I'm pretty good at, and other people have different things they're good at. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you can kind of see that. Like, when did the timeline come in for your EFT guide?
EFT guide, I think I started like, well, when the heck was that? It's probably like about a year ago now, almost.
So it was like after streaming you started that, or?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It was after streaming. Yeah, I mean, I was playing Tarkov before streaming, but the guide came after. It was one of the initiatives I did to help bolster the stream, which we'll get into that more later too.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be really cool to talk about that more. I think it's interesting to see because you start to see like the pieces that kind of really speak to your stream as a whole. And I think it was funny because I think early on when I found your stream, I think it was through McBeardsley where I found your stream. But I remember like talking with actually Angry Tony, one of like my main mods, about it, and he's like, man, I just really enjoy, like, there's something about it that I really enjoy. And he's a very similarly minded to you in terms of like very analytically minded, and he really enjoyed it for that. And for me, I enjoyed it because I'm not that. And I was like, it's just so cool to be in a stream that's completely different than I wouldn't even imagine doing something in that exact way, but it's like two different ways to get from point A to point B, you know. And I think it was really, really cool. And so we'll talk about EFT guides and we'll kind of get into that, the deeper side of that for sure. So you've been going for 18 months. Exactly. Your baby is 18 months. So that's great.
That's right. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Can I cut you off briefly? I just wanted to say as well, first of all, thank you very much. I really appreciate those words. And also I feel likewise with you, actually. You're a very different style for me and I enjoy watching you because of that. I think you do certain things in a much more organically charismatic way that I don't think I could do them. And so I really appreciate your stream in the same way too. So
that's cool, man. Well, hey, I want to make now that, we're BFFs forever, dude. BFFs forever, forever, forever. So where do you want to get with streaming? Where's kind of like, what's your goal with streaming in a way?
Yeah. So like I talked about my reason for starting and that's part of it. I want to share sort of that sort of sense of immersion and joy that I get from the small things that a lot of people maybe don't fully realize and help them also appreciate why something is so good.
Yeah.
So there's that part of it. And then there's the other big, big part of it is the community aspect. I know, like, I think this is going to get kind of like big picture talk, but I just think like in the world, we're kind of increasingly, we have so many formats of communication. And we're starting to use more and more of those, but also kind of maybe distance ourselves a bit in a personal way.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to reverse that, but I want to appreciate that and then also try to find ways for people to still kind of communicate in the new world.
Yeah.
And so even with myself, for example, I'd say once you kind of get out of, you know, school, university, all that stuff, depending on what your sort of work regime is like, it can be surprisingly difficult to you know, meet new people that you connect with, make new friends, that sort of thing, especially with the same subset of interests and all of that. And so I've myself wanted to have some sort of a community where there's people that I know are somewhat like-minded or at least have similar values, and where you can meet people and make real, like, long-lasting friendships. And that's the kind of community that I'm trying to create. So that's basically my ultimate goal is to make, you know, this perfect gaming community on the net that is, perfect in my eye anyways. Obviously everyone has a different view for what should be perfect, but then other people that maybe think similarly to me in some way or have similar values, they can hopefully also find friends to make there in a real way. I'm not saying that as a promo piece. I mean, literally, I want people to be able to make lasting, real friendships in this community. It's a challenging thing to find organically on the world these days, I think.
Absolutely. I think you see a lot of, there's so many streamers, right? There's so many streamers out there, but there's so many streamers who, like even if I just pause in the statement, like, and ask you how much time would you say kind of goes into that, like, just even stream each week for you? Like, you don't have to give an exact number and like that, but like, would you say like it's a, like a lot of time that you're putting in terms of doing this, or was it more of like things in the start were a lot of time and now they're kind of running? Where is it kind of at for you?
So when you say it, you mean for just streaming, or you mean for the stuff that bolsters streaming as well?
Everything. So streaming for me, like when I kind of say that, I'm right on the same like wavelength as you in terms of like streaming is the easy part, right? Like streaming is like being live is like, oh, we're here, we get to talk with people, we get to be a part of that. But there's so much more that goes into the back end of it. Would you say that like a lot of you're spending a lot of time doing that? I would say, right? Like,
oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm probably streaming about 16 hours a week on average, something like that. I mostly do weekends, so I do really long streams. But the exterior work from that, I don't know what the exact amount is, but I know pretty much every single day I'm doing something. And it's often quite a number of hours that I'm dedicating to it. It's a tremendous amount of work.
And the reason I like bring that up is because, a lot of people want, I think they really want the attention of streaming is what is like sexy to people or like whatever. It's like they want people to be like in their chat and going and love them or whatever it is. And it's just the same thing that every social media has brought for people in a lot of ways. But I think there's not a lot of people legitimately wanting to be like a community builder. And I think that needs to be something that's different than like even like a content creator. I think that is a very powerful thing because within our world, especially in the times that we're in right now, there's a lot of people that need communities that don't have it. And I think that's something I'm super passionate about. Like, and I think that's a huge piece of what streaming is that people don't understand, but that takes a considerable amount of time because not only are you a streamer now, but you're actually you got to be a really strong leader. And that's something that, unfortunately a lot of streamers might not have or might not know they have either. And so,
yeah. And I would even take it, one further and say that, the kind of what I was talking about earlier and also what you've been talking about, people don't have a community and it's harder to find a community organically in person, especially now with COVID and everything. And it's almost like a mental health crisis as well on top of everything else, because people need social interaction. Even if you're very introverted, you still need a reasonable amount of social interaction. And to accomplish that, you usually need some kind of a meaningful community, because just having random people that you have small talk with isn't really enough. You kind of want to have more substantial relationships.
I think that's really cool. What's funny is because I just actually recently joined your Discord and I joined a lot of people's Discords and whatnot, you know? And I think I was like, I'll join Rainlights. And I didn't expect... you don't expect the kind of interaction that you get from people at your size technically. So it's something that's pretty like, and we'll dive into like the philosophy a little bit more and a little bit here, but I think that's something that, that's like a win, right? That's a win that I think you could look at is it and what you've done. And what a lot of people should want to learn from someone like you is how do you get more of those, like that interaction from people. And I think it's kind of like within what you're saying, right? Like the community, it's more about community building for you and actually making an impact, it sounds like, than, you know, being in the shining lights, you know, which is really cool.
Yeah. And it has been from day one as well. Like, I've always known that this is about interaction and community building, more than anything else. Both from my own kind of moral perspective, but also just from like an even being able to become successful perspective, I think, unless you have some truly majestic, angelic charisma that everyone needs to know about, you probably need to add some kind of value. So either you're like the best in the universe at whatever game you're playing, and you got to be pretty impressive. Or maybe you're so damn funny or so charismatic that you can carry on your own.
Yeah.
But I think community building is probably one of the best ways to grow a stream. And it's what I've wanted to do. Like that was, like I said, that was basically my plan the whole time, is I wanted to build a community. That was the drive for me to even start streaming. So it helps when that's your plan and you're doing it from day one. I've always been about interaction, looking at every single user as a person. When they say something, I don't just read it and then say something back very emptily.
Yeah.
That's not a good word, but
we'll take
it. You know what I mean? Something, I don't want to just say something back vaguely. I'm actually processing what they say. You'll usually notice when I read something, I'm often thinking for about a second or two.
Yeah.
That's because I'm trying to process what they're saying, who they are, everything I know about them. And I want to have a meaningful conversation with them. It's challenging because sometimes you're holding half a dozen conversations or more, but I try.
Yeah.
And I've been trying that since the first day. And I think that's why you see a lot of interaction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So kind of like, I know you have like the questions I sent you over in front of you, and we'll kind of go into that next area in terms of like, what do you do? Like, so what are some of the games that you started on, or maybe some of the games that you've kind of kept around? I know you do a little bit of variety and whatnot, or you do quite a bit of variety between some different games, but what are some of the games that you're like focused on stream, and like some of the games that you feel like maybe have made you, to where you're at now?
Well, I started with the very, very first game I streamed was Kerbal Space Program, which I chose for a few reasons. I chose it because it had a very good size. I liked I was thinking practically about streaming, and I'm like, there's no point of doing this if no one sees me, because then I can't build a community and everything's going to fall apart. And like, the whole point is, some level of growth. Otherwise, what's the point of streaming if you're going to be all alone there? So I realized that wasn't going to jump into some huge category and then be invisible, because that would be pointless, I felt.
Yeah.
So I love Kerbal Space Program. I think it's one of the greatest games ever made. It's basically, for those of you who don't know, it's a sort of physics simulation where you run a space agency and you design rockets. And yeah, it's kind of like, to some degree, rocket science, or at least basic kinematics and stuff like that, orbital kinematics. And you launch rockets and try to see if they work, and often they explode and they don't work or whatever, but it's always fun. It's fun designing them. It's fun launching them. It's fun coming up with space stations and rovers. And when you finally manage to actually, take off, get into a suborbital trajectory and then into full orbit. And then you kind of do a transfer to the moon, and then you manage to land on the moon safely without anything exploding. Your Kerbal gets out of his little vessel and gets onto the moon. You plant the flag. That is a good feeling. It's challenging, but it's a good feeling.
Once you get there,
it's something everyone should experience. Yeah. So I really, really love the game. Anyways, I'm getting off track. But I started streaming that because I loved it so much, and it had kind of a good size. It felt niche enough that I was like, this is where I could get some visibility, because that's what you need. Mm-hmm. And so I started with that. I also was doing Tarkov just because I really, really enjoyed it. It was one of my favorite games. And so I kind of started with those two. Then I branched out on some other stuff. I do variety, so I'm not going to list everything, but I've done some XCOM, Hitman 2.
I play a little bit of Hitman, dude. Hitman's fun, man. It's really
yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
It's so, I actually saw it on your list recently. I was surprised. I'm like awful at it, but it's like so much fun. It brings me back, because I played Hitman when I was younger, and oh my gosh, loved it. And then...
Did you do Blood Money?
Yeah. So I only played like Hitman 2, but a game for any streamers out there, that's a game that actually is really, really good to stream, because it's so interesting to watch all the different things that happen. And it's just really engaging, really engaging game.
And there's a lot of emergent stuff that happens, right? It's like a big sandbox. You do stuff and then like weird things happen. And that's
so much replayability. So like if you're a streamer, you pay for the game, then you can replay it and still
you'll get mileage. Yeah.
You'll get some good out of it. In the variety side of things, did you always want to do variety, or were you thinking like game plan was to stick on a game and kind of like push that game like crazy, or what was your plan there in the beginning?
So I've always wanted to do variety. And my reason for that is twofold. One of them is I have a broad variety of interests. I'm trying to foster a community that has a broad variety of interests. I don't want to, I was very wary of getting stuck in a quagmire where I would be playing one game and the entire community is only interested in that game, and then I want to do something else and then I can't because the entire community crumbles. I didn't want to do that. I could tell that was a problem from the get-go. And so I wanted to get a community that was very used to me swapping to different categories.
Yeah.
And I wanted people that were interested in different categories anyways. If someone's only interested in a single game, I want them to expand their horizons a bit. That's what'll help you if you fit into the community that I was trying to build anyways. Yeah. I want people that are open-minded and have a broad variety of interests. So I kind of knew it from the start. And like right now I'm doing Escape from Tarkov and Dark Souls. Dark Souls is more like a medieval action fighting type game. So it's pretty different from especially Kerbal Space Program. It's challenging like Tarkov is, and it has some similarities there, but otherwise it's a very different game from that as well. So yeah, I like dabbling in these different categories, and I like switching it up and keeping it pretty fluid all the time for that reason.
Yeah.
And also, for my own sanity, I think it's more fun to
Because it's funny. I was almost the opposite. Like I started off like I was playing Fortnite a lot. Like I was working with like youth in like a church, and I was like playing Fortnite. Oh, just hanging out playing Fortnite, and then I started really liking it.
How that started? Interesting.
Yeah. And then I was like, I kind of want to. I was like playing it when they would get off and like staying up way too late and playing it. Yeah. And then like, I hated my sales job at the time and felt trapped. And so I wanted some type of creativity because I used to do like music and stuff, and then dove into like streaming just on an Xbox, and then kind of like slowly got into it. But then from there, once I got serious, I think you and I are very similar in the sense that I have to have like a very strong why of what I'm doing to be able to like do it seriously. And so once I got really serious about streaming is when I started like writing down, okay, this is my goal. Because numbers weren't enough. Like when, any streamer will like know that the roller coaster of numbers are not, it's just not enough to like be like, oh, I want to grow to this many viewers or this, whatever. And for me, it really became very similar to what you're saying in terms of like making an impact. For me, it's like really inspiring, motivating, and encouraging people on a daily basis, and not only just like, oh, hey, and like encouraging, but like being able to be there and a part of the lives, and so very much community building as well. And so I think it's a powerful why, because for me, when the viewer count is down or whatever, it's not a problem because there's still people in there that I need to impact. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's a really powerful thing for people to have, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think anyone who looks at you with and has any level of insight can tell you're a very determined person. So it makes sense. You would want to have a strong why to have to be able to follow that conviction. I mean, otherwise it's like, it's hard to be determined for a wishy-washy goal. You know, you need to have something strong.
Yeah, we left. So we left sense. quite a bit of stuff from my old job in terms of financially, and so we had to get a little serious about what we were doing in order to do this whole thing. So I think it's been really, really cool seeing our life change. But I think I connect with you on that piece of it in terms of
your determination is really impressive, man.
It was cool.
It's always impressed me.
Well, speaking of determination, okay, I got to know about this Escape from Tarkov guide that you put together, because putting together a guide is not an easy task, I imagine.
No, I thought it would be easier than it was. It wasn't easy.
Okay. So talk me, we don't have to spend too much time on it, but just talk me through like what you're kind of, what was, you know, what was the moment where you're like, oh shoot, I should do this. And then, what was the moment where you're like, okay, like, oh shoot, this is like more than what I thought. That kind of stuff, you know?
So one thing I'll bring up again more later is the reason why I made it, which was I believe in doing you need external initiatives or projects that will bolster your streaming if you want to have a successful streaming growth. I think you pretty much must have it. It is probably technically possible to brute force it without that, but you're just making so much more work for yourself. And this today, it's so competitive that you'd run yourself into the ground, I think. So I believe in external projects. And again, I'll get back to that later. But this was one of the external projects I was working on. I was like, I know the fundamentals of this game very well. I'm analytical enough to appreciate what new players might be missing or confused about when they get into the game, because it's very complicated. It's probably one of the most complicated shooters out there, if not the most. And there's a lot of things that are obtuse in it. You know, you come into it as a new player, and a lot of things don't make much sense coming from other games, or maybe you don't even have much game experience or whatever else. Whoever's coming into it as a new player is going to be confused usually about all sorts of things, you know, calibers and soundscapes and pacing and all this, all these like important heuristics you really need to learn to be able to appreciate the game properly.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I understand this stuff well, and I could put it into a text guide. And I felt like there was kind of a gap in that, because I was looking around a bit, and there's a number of video guides. A lot of them have very sporadic information. there are some pretty good ones now. At the time, there wasn't that many good ones. And text-wise, there was almost nothing. Nothing that was well-organized, put into like a nice, neat PDF link table of contents so you can jump around all that stuff. And so that's what inspired me to do it. And but yeah, I spent a lot of evenings on that, a lot of evenings. And it became kind of like one of those master's thesis type things where, you know, you're just plugging away at it and it becomes this gigantic, massive text. And you've read it so many times, you start going like a little blind and you're not sure if there's just entire pages that are maybe in the wrong chapter or something. You see like walls of text and you're like, oh God, what am I going to do with this? You know? And at some point you just have to press publish and hope it was okay. And then, you know, some problems slip through the cracks, but eventually people will get back to you with feedback and stuff, which I always appreciate. And you put out a revision and life goes on. It's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to remind yourself not to be overly perfectionist or you won't get anything done.
That's a really great point. Yeah, it's something that my brother's in like the content creation space as well. He works for like a YouTube channel and stuff. And we always like come over to each other and he's like, excuse me, working on something too long. He's like, sometimes done is better than perfect, man. Just get it out. You know, you can edit that video to like the next millennium, but like just get it out, dude.
Absolutely. I'm like,
okay, yeah, let's go. But I think it's really cool to see the amount of work you put into something like that is not normal in terms of the streaming space. And it's extraordinary because it's something that it's not something that you go like, oh, I've worked really hard on this. And you tell everybody you worked really hard on it, but it was maybe like a few extra hours. Do you know what I mean? Like that's something that like you have put everything that you've worked to learn in a game, which is a game that's you've seen me play this game, dude. I barely freaking understand it now. I've been playing it for months now. but it's a game that literally is so hard to understand. So you not only did you learn that and really like start to master that game, but you now put it into a text that's easy for people to navigate. And I think that is something that it's like, even if you don't look at the guide, it is something that you start to see like, oh, this is the type of community this is going to be. And it communicates something very powerful. And I think that's something that, that's one of the first things I noticed about you where I was like, this is different. Something is much different here. And so that's why I wanted to know a little bit more about that story because, anyone writing a guide by themselves it's very difficult. So it's very difficult to do. And the fact you did that, like really for your stream and for your community is also a really cool thing.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was sort of the plan, was to help people and bolster the stream in one fell swoop. I had, you know, so many, there's new people constantly asking all sorts of questions and, you know, people usually in response to questions like, help me, I'm new, you know, it becomes a lot of useful, but very, very sporadic answers to that question. Cause there's just way too much information. I literally could not cram the fundamentals into any less than about 50 pages or so.
Yeah.
And there's just hundreds of mechanical details. And it's like to explain all this stuff for, you know, the dozenth time to a new person, it starts wasting a lot of time because I won't do it as efficiently. It takes up a lot of my time where we've come up with this fantastic technology of putting things into text so people can reread it without taking up another person's time again and again.
Exactly.
You know? So it's like, maybe we should take advantage of this whole writing thing, you know, we should take advantage of it. There's that. And then there's also the people that, shouldn't be forgotten, which are maybe alone. They don't have any buddies. They want to get into it. They don't have anyone to ask, so they can suffer through it. Or, now they have my guide as a companion.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the plan with it.
I like it, man.
Well,
thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's, it's something that I wouldn't be able to do. So that's why I'm so impressed with it. But and if I did it, it would have a lot of grammatical errors. So and anyone from my community knows that. So
I think you do a lot of other things much better than I do. Some of the creativity on your stream is just fantastic. You always blow me away.
Well, it's all just it's craziness is what it is. It's
craziness. Is it pure madness? Is
yeah, that pure the madness up here, dude. It's nuts. But no, I appreciate that. So I guess kind of going into like a little bit of like how do you do it is kind of like the section that I sent you over, is I guess like we've kind of talked a bit about like how you've helped grow your community. We've talked about that. We've talked a little bit about how you've deepened your community, but I have a feeling you probably have some other things to share on that side of things. in terms of like one of three ways maybe you've helped deepen your community or you're kind of going towards?
So for deepening, if we talk about, you said this one was about like how, what makes people stay more, things like that, yeah. Right?
Oh, sorry. Jeez. This is an earthquake. No, I'm kidding. I just knocked my desk.
Okay. He's still no. with us, folks. He's still with us.
Yeah. I'm still with us. We're good. Yeah, I guess like, yeah, basically what makes people stay.
Yeah. So I do a few things for that. I've often come up with custom rules for games I do.
Okay.
Because I, you know, obviously I do the community building. That's a big part of what I intend to make people stay with. But in terms of more sort of, I guess, actively and when I'm streaming and stuff, I like to think about the fact that maybe these people have seen this game a lot of times before. I want to make it a bit different, a bit more interesting, yeah. Something that'll be intriguing enough to make them stay. So I often come up with custom rules for games. When I was doing Hitman 2, for example, I had something that I called Iron Name 47, which was a spin on Iron Man and Codename 47, which is okay. His name. And in Iron Name 47, I had to do, you know how difficult and complex these maps are in Hitman 2, because you've tried it now. And there's six of them in the first game, and there's another six in the second game, so there's 12 altogether. And I was like, we're going to start in Paris, which is the first map, and then I'm going to play this Iron Man, which means if at any point things go wrong, I need to weasel my way out of the situation and survive. If I can't do it, I'm going to die, and when I die, we have to go back to Paris, even if I've gotten 2, 3, 4, oh, wow. 10 maps in, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, we're going to do it this way, and it's going to raise the stakes. And so I came up with this little custom rule set that I called Iron Name 47. And I won't go into details, but that's the basic gist of it. And it made the stakes extremely high.
Yeah.
And it made it so much more exciting to watch, I thought. So like, that's an example of something I've done. I've also had other modes for that, like Punisher mode. I did a hard light mode for Tarkov when I kind of played a little too much last wipe. And I was like, all right, there's no more missions to do. So let's swap it up. You know, I'll change the entire rule set. And I came up with my own kind of hardcore version of the game. That was a little different from how others were doing it.
Yeah.
So that's one way. Squad night is another thing I've been doing that's been helping, I think, a bit with getting people to feel more engaged and stay. What that is we basically have a night every week where viewers and myself all come together and we form up squads for Tarkov.
Yeah.
And we do that on Discord, and it's off stream. It's fully focused on just us enjoying the game together.
I've had people talk to me about that, like that experience has been really cool. Mm-hmm. Like they're like squad night is a lot of fun. It's just cool.
Oh, that's fun to
it's
hear.
It's made it over to me. So it is making an impact for sure.
Ah, yes. It's infecting you.
It is infecting the whole platform. In they also posted your link to your stream like 10 times in my chat, but.
That they shouldn't do. Don't do that, folks.
I'm just joking.
aside from that, just focusing on the community, both within the stream itself and outside of it, whenever I'm developing Discord and stuff, I think those things kind of help people stay, hopefully. That's the plan, at least.
Yeah.
Those would probably be the three things.
Yeah, I think that's like, it seems like you think about those types of things, though, too, because a lot of times I ask that question, like, I just kind of like, you know, I try to keep people here, you know, and it's, I always like say like it kind of makes what makes your community like a little bit more sticky. It sounds weird, but it's like literally like makes it more like people want to stay, you know, like
it's a commonly used term, actually, like sticky viewers or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think it's something very powerful to like think through that. And whenever I hear other streamers like philosophies on that, it really helps me out. So hopefully it's helping people out for sure. I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about numbers.
Okay.
This is something I talk about with every streamer that I bring on.
Sure.
And what their philosophy on like looking at numbers, how often they look at numbers. I kind of always ask, like, has there been an impact? Has numbers ever like impacted you in a really negative way?
Are we talking about like your view count when you're in stream, or are we talking about all of it? Like also average viewers over time?
Yeah, everything. Yeah. So like, obviously like view count while you're streaming, I always like turn mine off, but like, no matter what, you can find a way to like look at it at some point. But I think, talking about your philosophy on numbers and how you approach that side of things.
So, there's a few different points there. So they have to be talked about a little bit separately. But with the viewer count in stream, I actually listed that as one of the things I wanted to mention for being revolutionary for new streamers to think about is to disable that.
Yep.
I've personally find it extremely distracting. And I actually took me a long time to disable it. I have to admit, I actually didn't know for a while you could even do that in slobs. But I need to have slobs up to look at stuff.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it happens to you too.
Dude, my brother came in. I was like, bro, I had tape on the screen. I had tape on my screen. And then my brother was like, bro, you can just click it and disable it. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess I can do that.
You're like, can you not tell anyone about this, please?
Yeah, please don't tell anybody.
Don't broadcast it on the internet for sure.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, dang.
Oh, no. Oh, there that goes. I had the same experience. And it's just very, very distracting because you're looking over at it and it's impossible not to look at it. It's like telling someone to like not think about an elephant or whatever. And then on top of that, you end up, I think, it probably depends on the person maybe, but usually getting growth is a lot harder than it is to lose people in chat. So like, you know, let's say you're doing really well, you feel like the interaction is flowing, a lot of people are there and they're chatting and stuff. So it feels good and you're getting that slow growth, you know, an extra viewer every maybe few minutes or every 10 minutes or whatever it is. And then you die to something, whatever happened. Maybe it was your fault, maybe it wasn't your fault, maybe there was lag, maybe there was a packer. You die in whatever game you're doing. And then suddenly like 10 people leave and you just deleted like 2 hours of progress or something. That's really demoralizing. That'll really crush you. And it'll show too in your mood and stuff. Like I've noticed myself, like I can just feel that sinking when it's like, that hurt. Yeah, you know? Yeah. And you get why it happens. Cause you know, a lot of people will use thresholds like that when someone dies. There's like a transitioning point and it's like a reminder, like, oh wait, I kind of want to go do the laundry or whatever. So, you know, they switch off, go do whatever. So there's a lot of very legitimate and like fine reasons for that, but it's still disappointing. And so you don't want to get caught up in that. Cause a lot of it is also kind of playing negative mind games on yourself. So I believe in disabling it for that reason. I find it's distracting, demoralizing, and it's bad. You should instead focus on the gameplay, focus on being yourself, your charismatic self, and focus on interacting with chat, and then don't worry about it then. Now, what I do think you should start worrying about your numbers is outside of stream, because then you need to start looking at your performance. Are you plateauing? Are you growing? Are you dropping? Why is it happening? Those numbers start to matter more, especially if I don't think anyone should start this and rely on it monetarily from the get-go. But if you are planning to eventually do anything like that, then you need to pay attention to those things and you need to treat it a bit like a business. But those are two different sides of things. Yeah. There's the, when you're in stream and you're performing, you need to don't mess with yourself. Don't play mind games with yourself. And when you're outside of the stream, you need to potentially be looking at your performance and see what your performance is and why, and try to figure out why.
How often do you look at that?
I would say I look at the like strategic numbers, probably like maybe once a month or so, something like that.
I like that. Yeah. I'm in the same boat for that. Like once a month, I think is healthy. I think even when starting out though, it's kind of hard. It's hard not to look at it every single day and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I get it. But I did a lot more damage to myself early on with that kind of stuff than help by like just camping in the numbers, you know?
Oh and yeah. I think, you're checking them out all the time.
Oh yeah. Like you go every single, I think a lot of people go every single, I have people go to my chat all the time. Like, oh, I'm almost to affiliate. I'm almost to this. I'm almost to this. I just need like one more viewer. And you're like, I'm always say like, don't rush to that side of things. You know, don't rush to needing affiliate or needing whatever, or needing like spaces like that. Do like worry about what you're doing versus worrying about like how you're doing. And I think that's
at first, that's very important. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's hard for people at first. I mean, I say that, but I was like probably the same way, you know, like I was camping in those numbers and I say
it's natural.
I say to warn people though, cause it didn't affect me until it really went down at one point. And that's where like I got in a really like tough mental space. And I think a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. But speaking of affiliate, I don't know how much you want to share on this side of things. You waited quite a while to do how long did you wait to do affiliate? I got to hear about this.
It's embarrassing. So yeah.
I don't know if we can know why or not. I don't know where that goes and stuff.
But I'm not going to go too in depth about it, but basically like, I hit the thresholds for affiliate pretty much instantly. I think we had a really, really, really good start for the channel. The first day I was doing this like special, it was like a New Year's stream. And I decided to do it then because I was alone. I figured probably a lot of other people are alone and maybe I could provide this the stream, and it'll be a place for some people who are alone on New Year's to you know, enjoy their company together. Yeah. So the first stream, like right off the bat, was pretty good. And I had like, I think 20 people in there at one point. So it peaked around 20 people, which is ridiculous.
It's a great first stream. Yeah, it's amazing.
You know? That was also partially thanks to, I have some, you know, gamer friends that wanted to come watch with me and stuff too. So like that probably helped me get the first like 3 or 4 viewers. And then I was in this very niche category, as mentioned. I chose Kerbal Space Program. Yeah, we were launching a rocket for every time zone that was hitting New Year's. I thought that was a fun
way
to
play
smart.
It. Yeah.
And so it started really nicely. And then obviously I didn't keep up those numbers. I wasn't having 20 viewers consistently. I was getting, you know, maybe 5 to 10 shortly thereafter. But even that's pretty good for just starting off.
Absolutely.
And so I hit the thresholds for affiliate instantly. As soon as I got past the there's like a time landmark you need as well, like a few weeks or something. And once I got past that, I was ready. But yeah, I'm not going to get too in details. It kind of gets into my personal life and stuff.
Yep,
but
yeah, fine.
But the long and the short of it is, it ended up taking like over a year, I think, like 15 months or something, for me to actually push the button and activate it. And that actually did some harm, I think. I think going affiliate is actually very useful for engagement and growth.
Yeah.
It gets people, I think, a little bit more engaged when they can get your emotes and when they feel... They feel sort of invested in the community a little more and stuff. So I think it actually helps quite a bit to hit that button and go affiliate. Yeah. As counterintuitive as that may seem, as opposed to just having a totally free stream, so to speak. I mean, it's still free, but you know, there's now ways to monetize it with affiliate.
Yeah.
So
because I was kind of wondering, like, if it was part of the mastermind of Rainlight, you know?
I wish I could say that. I wish I could.
I was wondering if
some people
that,
were hypothesizing or... I was going straight for partner, and I was like,
"You're like, whoa, don't
say Frodo."
You're like, that'd be kind of like, that'd be pretty badass though.
Yeah, and the support when I did push the button was insane.
Yeah.
Wow, I was blown away. I pushed the affiliate button, and I had well over 100 subscribers instantly. We blew open a level 5 hype train instantly. It was absolute madness. So I was blown away by the generosity of the community. It was incredible.
It's like a water balloon you filled up for months and months and months.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden it's like people are like, I just want to support you and show you this. And you're like, oh, you know, we'll be going to affiliate at some point here, you know? And it's like, there's no way that would be like on purpose for you to do that in my mind, like just how you are. You'd be like, oh, I'll get the most out of this, you know? But I think it just happened that way. And I know there's a lot of personal things with that, and I don't want to obviously push on that. But I think you start to see like that balloon kind of, that's why I was like, I wonder if that was the mastermind behind it in terms of like, oh, was it to like make it a big moment or, you know, and obviously.
Yeah, no, it was just, there was a lot of things I wanted to get done and stuff outside of streaming. You know, it basically had nothing to do with the stream itself. It was more like things I wanted to get done personally before I started monetizing and doing the whole affiliate game. So that's why it happened that way. But I do think it hurt. It's not something I'd recommend for newer streamers or anything to like hold off an affiliate or anything. I think
that's what I wanted to know. Yeah, that's too what I wanted to know, if it was like, but yeah, hearing that makes sense. That makes sense in terms of that. Cause I was trying to think through when I heard about that. Because I think McBeardsley told me, he's like, he's about to go affiliate. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, I thought he was. Like, he's doing phenomenal, right? And he's like, no, he's going to activate it. I was like, wait, what? I was like, dude, the moment I had that, I was like, hit the button, man. Hit the button. I was like, shoot, maybe I should have stopped.
You missed out on the master heuristics.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the freaking... The founders badges were all gone instantly as well. It was before I even did the affiliate stream. They were already gone. I announced it in Discord and stuff. They were done so already. But it was a heck of an experience. But yeah, I would not recommend it for newer streamers. Okay. Just to clarify, if you're a new streamer, you're listening to this, don't hold off an affiliate. Go for it.
You're like, it's not cool to hold off. Okay. It's not cool.
No. It doesn't make you fashionably late, believe it or not.
Well, that was a huge question. I appreciate you going into that. Okay. So let's move to kind of like, I really like to have these be a little bit of, for any newer streamers listening and stuff like that. A lot of them listen like audio or whatever, but what, like kind of getting into like a little bit of how others can do it. If you're ready to move to there, if you had anything else that you want to talk about before that, I'm totally down.
Let's see. What else did I have here? There was
one
thing
skipped
about,
over a couple of questions, but some of them we covered, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to push it along, that's cool. I think fine. The only other thing I wanted to mention was, let's see, you want to talk a little bit about like something you wish you knew when you started?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question.
I think the main thing I wanted, this is mostly just for like newer streamers, actually, that I want to mention this, but I did a lot of research before I started. I kind of looked at streams, tried to figure out what bothered me about them, like what would make me not want to be in one, what made me attracted to the others, trying to take apart the components and figure out why those things are the case. So I did a lot of research first. And because of that, I actually haven't been hit with any big, like, oh man, I wish I knew this. The one thing that I did think of that kind of affected me more than I expected, and that I think new streamers need to be very, very aware of, is that organic growth is like glacial on Twitch. It's really, really, really slow. And you need outside initiatives of some kind. So that was the one thing I guess I wanted to mention for that. It's like, be prepared to come up with some outside initiatives. You need a lot of creativity for it because you need to come up with stuff and then you need the discipline to do it. It's very difficult. It's much easier to start another stream or go play some games or go do whatever work you have to do outside of streaming or do adulting things.
Yeah.
Almost all those things are easier than sitting down and you know, typing out like a big PDF guide or something, which is so unattractive when there's all those other things to do. And so you need to be willing to do some initiatives like that, I think, if you want to be able to grow the channel. Because just growing on Twitch alone is so damn hard organically.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing. And I knew that was going to be an issue, but it's something that I think you need to be really aware of as a new streamer. So that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Do you do like other social medias and stuff like that? Or do you do like, or you kind of do other things?
I'm dabbling a little bit in Twitter, not nearly as much as I should. YouTube is something I wanted to do since almost the beginning, and I've been pushing that back and back because I do not want to edit. I absolutely hate video editing. And otherwise, I would have done a ton of YouTube content by now because I have so many ideas for it and like good series and things that I know would help a lot. And so I've been sort of procrastinating with that, and that's bad. That's not something you should do. But aside from that, it's mostly Discord. Discord is the main thing outside of streaming that I do. And I do that because it's perfect for building a community, which is, like I said, has been the goal. So so I think focusing on Discord makes a lot of sense for that reason.
There's got to be something, though, you're kind of saying. Like there's got to be something that you're pushing towards, like things that are pushing towards your stream and whatnot.
Outside of Twitch, yes.
I agree. And I think it's cool. It's kind of a cool thing to think about, too, with how you do Discord is... Sometimes you can do one of them, like one of the extra things that everyone always says. You can do one of them really well, and that will help a huge, huge amount.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't necessarily have to go and spread out and do every single one.
Yeah.
But you can do one really, really well.
Yeah. That's cool. Choose one or two things that you can focus on, because if you try to do all of them, you're probably spreading yourself too thin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially, like, if some of those things don't come natural, like video editing, things like that, then it's like, it takes a long time. It takes a long time, a lot of effort. So,
yes.
Awesome. No, I'm super stoked we actually covered that because it was really good. Thank you. Let's go to like one to two practical things that someone can implement right now. So say somebody's at one viewer and it's their phone right now, or two viewers, you know, and it's their phone right now. What would you, if they said, "Hey, Rainlight, can you give me like a little plan, something that I can focus on right now?" What would you give me?
Yeah. So first I'll give like one kind of general thing and like get into more specifics, but I think choosing category is probably one of the single most important decisions you're going to make right at the beginning.
Okay.
If you only have say one viewer or no viewers or whatever, you're not going to get noticed at the bottom of the barrel of a category that has thousands or tens of thousands of viewers. It's just too hard for people to find you. And so that's kind of why I, for example, chose Kerbal Space Program. Like I said, I realized that if I could even get, Even if I was alone, people would still see me on the front page because there's only a few rows there. There's not that many people actually streaming. But as soon as you do have even a few viewers, very quickly you can get up into the top row. If I could even just get like maybe six or seven viewers, or you know, even five, depending on the time of day or something, I could get on that top row.
Yeah.
And you kind of want to pay attention to that and how the category looks. And the stars need to line a bit for that, because you need to find something where the numbers are right in that sense. You also, if you want to get really picky about it, you kind of need to be looking at the distribution between channels. So like, you want to make sure that if they're spread very evenly, that usually means there's a bit better migration between channels, as opposed to there being tons of people in a single huge channel, for example.
Yeah.
So that can be good, but it also might mean it gets hard to get to the top. And there's a lot of analytics you can do there. But And you also need to enjoy the game. You need to be good at it. It needs to be, or not necessarily good at it, but you need to be good enough that it's not going to be, you know,
a constant bore
to watch it. Yeah. And then also, it needs to also be something where you can foster the community that you're going for as well. So there's kind of a lot of moving parts. You need to make it all work at the same time. So that's my general advice, is choose a category very carefully, and make sure that the numbers and the interest and all that other stuff is correct. But for more like kind of specific practical things to do, assuming you've maybe already figured that out, I think one important thing to do is to like watch your VOD and scrutinize every single aspect of it. You need to be looking at like your voice clarity, your audio balance, like how good the camera looks, the lighting, your demeanor, what the atmosphere is like, what it feels like from a viewer perspective, especially. What the chat delay is like, what the chat's attitude is like, what are they saying, why are they saying it, things like that. Is it entertaining to watch even? Really, really important questions, very hard questions. And you need to be willing to ask yourself those things and be self-critical in a very honest way. And you need to look at all those components, because if any single one of those things are wrong, it might be a reason someone doesn't bother with your channel. If they can't hear you right, if the camera quality is terrible, whatever else, that can push people off very easily. Any single one of those facets. So you need to look at all of them. And just make sure they don't have to all be completely flawless, but make sure there's nothing that sticks out as like, this is a problem. And if it is, fix it right away. So I think watching your VOD and scrutinizing it like that is probably one of the single most important things to do. And something that, I've heard a lot of new streamers not very good at doing. And it's important. You got to figure out if your stream is entertaining and if it's high quality enough. It's very, very important.
Yeah. Watching back VODs is like the biggest key, especially in the beginning, because if you can't watch your own VOD, then it's probably like not the best start, you know, like not necessarily you have to watch the whole thing, but if you can't stand to watch it, it's something up, you know? And so,
yes. Yeah.
I think that's a really, really powerful thing, for anybody listening, I always tell people that is like, have you watched back your own VODs? And then they'll watch it back and be like, I couldn't watch it. And I'm like, yeah.
That's a problem. Yeah.
That's the problem. Neither can the people, you know? And so like, yeah.
It's a little bit like it's not a perfect analogy in terms of you watching it versus someone else it's not live anymore. You've just experienced it. So it's a little bit less interesting. And then also like, those are the main things really. It's just the fact that you've kind of already lived it. So it's kind of like repeating it again. So it's not quite the same when you're doing it, but even so, you should be capable of watching it and kind of scrutinizing whether or not it's actually interesting. I frequently watch, I don't watch my whole things, just like you said, you don't have time for it. You don't have time to like rewatch like 16 hours of VODs every week. But I will kind of flick through it and I watch it and I'm like, is that ambiance correct? Is this, that, or the other thing correct? Sometimes you'll notice things too that maybe no one in chat happens to mention. Maybe they were a little too shy to mention it, or they thought it would be rude or whatever else. But you might notice like, I can actually hear this fan motor in the background the whole time and no one said anything about that. You can fix that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And those are all like fixables, but they're also reasons why people leave. Like,
Crazy. And they usually won't tell you. They usually won't tell you why they leave. They just leave. So
well, especially when you're first starting out, they probably haven't even chatted yet. They just left because
that too.
They saw that. And that's the craziest thing. Perfect. Okay. 1 to 2 mindset things. What should somebody's mindset be either when they're starting out or just like as a streamer right now?
Yeah, so for people that are just starting out, I think you need to really, you need to be aware of your own like mental fortitude, I guess, because what's going to happen is you're going to have hours upon hours of no one talking to you, and you're going to be playing a game, you're going to be live broadcasting to the entire world, you're going to have an empty chat, no one's going to be saying anything, and you need to be entertaining, and that is very, very hard. It's hard when it's easy when it just lasts for a short while and you're kind of narrating what you're doing. Yeah. When it goes on for say 3, 4, 5 plus hours, you start to lose your mind a little bit. Absolutely. And so you need to have some serious mental fortitude and brace yourself for that, because you don't want to come into that not expecting it. And if you think that's easy, or if you think that's not going to be a problem for you, you're not fussed. I think you're probably kidding yourself a little bit. It's challenging. It's very hard to do. You're basically just talking to yourself and putting on a performance for sometimes what feels like no one. And maybe it is no one. And that should be a bit maddening to you, because you're essentially wasting time in a way until that problem fixes itself. Obviously the plan is that you're doing an investment, and eventually, hopefully, that one extra person shows up, 2 people, you know, some people start watching it, and then it turns into something. And so you still need to do that entertaining constantly when no one's there to make sure that the first impression is good. But you should be aware of that kind of mental aspect. You're going to need fortitude.
Yeah.
And you need to brace yourself. I probably repeated myself a few times, but yeah.
That's perfect. I think, yeah, the strong head it has to be there for a streamer, unless you like just blow up all of a sudden, like, and you're just huge and you're like, whatever. But even then, you know, like, I think not only is it against, you know, having no viewers, but even sometimes when a viewer comes in and you get that one viewer and they're like, you suck. And you're like, okay. You're like, oh, thanks. I think early on I had somebody come in like, hello. And I'm like, hey, what's up? How you doing? You know, like, good, good. And they're just like, you suck or something. Like, you know, like, just I'm playing Fortnite and just doing whatever. And it's just like, you just have people insult you right away. You're like, oh,
right.
I'm so stoked you're here, but okay.
Oh, my heart.
Oh, no big deal.
I've had someone come in and say my nose is red and then they left. And I was like, all right, keep that one in
mind.
Thank
you. And isn't it funny how those are the comments that stick, right? And those are the comments that are like in our head a lot of times. And I think it's that come in, like, you're like,
that one particularly stuck with me just because I thought it was so bizarre and funny. Like, it didn't bother me because you need to understand, usually when people say something really mean, I don't want to get fully into this topic because it's kind of like, a 2-hour TED talk if we get into it, but just basically, like, a lot of, usually when people try to bring you down, they usually have self-esteem problems themselves and they're looking for the lowest activation energy of being able to improve their spirits. And they think they lie to themselves and they think that if they maybe ruin someone else's spirits, it will make them feel relatively higher. Because now this other person feels lower. And I think it's a subconscious thing that happens with low self-esteem people. And so you just need to remember that essentially that problem is, it's almost always. I mean, you know, sometimes they might have a legit constructive comment or something, but almost always when someone throws out something destructive and random like that, it's they're trying to make themselves feel better and they don't know how.
Hurt people. That's what I always say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not always, but sometimes.
That's a much better way to abbreviate it, actually, instead of my rambling.
Oh, don't even, dude. You're not rambling at all. Literally, I'm just sitting here. I'm like, I'm having a blast. I could go for like a whole nother hour. We're almost there.
Oh, me too,
almost,
man. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, but
we are
almost there. We're at 56 minutes right now.
So, that flew past. It feels like 10 minutes,
right? Buddy. It's crazy, bro. It's crazy.
Wow. So, I'm enjoying this talk. Sorry, do you need to wrap up? Let me know.
No, we'll go a little longer here. We're kind of like towards the end in terms of like talking about this stuff. But I always want to make sure that you talk about some of the things that you want to talk about as well. So we'll keep time for that. Also, I'll just ask you this really quick. Are you cool with doing some Q&A at the end with people? Or, well, we can like say no to questions and stuff like that, obviously, but, or we can not do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll just have to play it that way. Like, there's a lot of things I won't answer, but we can see what people have to ask and we'll see.
Yeah. So if anybody has questions, kind of start to prepare those. We'll open that up in a little bit here. I guess with streaming, for me, I always think about it as like, I can't really picture anything else like that I would want to do. Not necessarily even just streaming, but just creating in some facet. And
sure.
I guess like, obviously we're not getting into like your past and stuff like that, but has that always been something that you've been passionate about in terms of creating, but also impacting people?
That's a good question. I think so, although in a slightly different way. I didn't actually kind of see this coming, I guess, the whole streaming thing, from many years out or something.
Yeah.
I would say one of the things that felt like I wanted to do for a long time was to kind of, like I said right at the beginning, actually, is to have people appreciate things in the way I do, and see, appreciate the small things, some of the things that people take for granted. And I think I'd like the idea of doing that through different sort of entertainment mediums. This is now another one as well, streaming. And streaming is very accessible as opposed to, say, making a film or writing a book or crafting a game, which usually requires an entire team of people. So I guess that's part of what I like about this, is it lets me do it in the very accessible way. But I love the concept of, you know, writing a book that would have a legacy and something that people would appreciate for, you know, years, hopefully centuries, you know,
yeah,
possibly, who knows? So in a way, yes. And I hadn't thought about that until just now when you asked me. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, no, I think it's an interesting thought. I think it's something that I always see like streaming as a vehicle in a lot of ways for me, like in streaming and like YouTube or whatever it is. Those are vehicles for me to like kind of hopefully impact people's lives in a better way. And I think that centerpiece, no matter where I end up or where I go, wherever life kind of takes me and wherever I head towards, yeah, hopefully that centerpiece is still like consistent, you know, and hopefully that centerpiece is still something that I do. Like you're saying, like whether you go into like writing a book or you like all of a sudden, like somehow you fall into like directing films or something like that, which is, there's things that'll like, I think that same passion sits in the middle, which is really, really cool. And I think it's a powerful thing for a lot of people, because if they don't know what that is, what their centerpiece is, it, a lot of times, whatever they're doing falls apart.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree completely. And you've actually made me realize something else as well. Like, I think there's a lot of cruelty in the world. There's a lot of beautiful things too, but there's just a lot of cruelty and people that aren't very good to each other. And I think that's really like enhanced in places like the internet, you know, when people have anonymity and there's just so much toxicity and like unpleasant behavior and people generally like lacking empathy and so on. And I love the idea of like making people maybe realize that they could be more empathetic and think more about other people's feelings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's important and something people don't think about enough. And it's something that's often brushed off as kind of like cheesy or whatever, but I don't think it is I don't think it's a small thing. I think it's important because when everyone's kind of venomous towards each other, you kind of fail as a society. I think like it's hard to collaborate when you can't even like, you know, imagine being in the shoes of someone else who's in that society with you.
Absolutely.
So I don't know, this is getting a little deep and I need more time to think out all the parts, but anyways, you made me think of that too. And by the way, Nick, I also want to say, I think you were born for this kind of thing, for content creation and streaming and making people happier and stuff. Like your charisma is just truly shining and it's so natural too. So I think you're on the correct road here with something, you know, whether it is streaming or not,
I appreciate
whether
that.
It's something beyond that, I think you can do fantastic.
I appreciate that.
Genuinely.
I didn't pay him to say these kinds of things, by the way, guys. I didn't much. I didn't pay him that much.
You got my Venmo, right? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait, this thing is on?
Oh, God, we're still going.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. Oh, I saw one question that I actually didn't ask, which I should have asked, is how'd you get the name Rainlight?
So that was an endeavor, as you might imagine with me.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, because a guy like you doesn't just go, oh, hey, oh,
yeah,
Rainlight. Let's just do that, you know? So I think it's cool.
I can talk about most of it, but basically, I was thinking about, there's so many different things that go into a name, like the practical parts of it. You need to think about like character length. I even think about things like syllables. You know, how many syllables is it? Is it a little bit too much of a mouthful? What are they going to abbreviate it to? What do the shapes of the characters look like? Especially if you're going for like a logo. What do the individual kind of words, there's parts of words to names often, like rain and light. I would put those two apart, for example. What's the mouthfeel of it as well? So like, does it feel nice when your tongue moves around and you say the name? Does it feel nice?
I'm smiling because you're like talking my language. I literally
thought about you know this what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I literally
you know what I'm talking
mine.
About.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny.
And then also, you know, is it available in most of the places you need it to be, you know, in terms of like URLs or what's it called? You know, on Twitch,
username,
Twitter or whatever else, which annoyingly the Twitter thing was actually taken in the end, but
that's crazy. Isn't that funny? Like who
I'll get you, I'll get you.
I have a friend Luton Larry, he has on Twitch, it's three R's because it was taken, and he's been contacting this guy every month like, please man, let me buy it from you, like let me do something. Like
my one is the one who has my name on Twitter is actually a bot account. I'm pretty sure, because they've only followed one person, and it's actually like a product they're following. and they've never posted anything else. So I'm pretty sure it's just like nonsense. And I contacted Twitter about it, and they're not giving me a good answer on it. It's like, this is clearly not a real account. They've never tweeted anything. They're following some product. That's it.
You're just like, this one, right? Like,
oh, but anyways, I won't lament that too much. But those are some of the practical aspects to it. And there's more of them too. I've literally forgotten how many practical aspects there are to it. And then in terms of like meeting and so on, Rain is something for me that there's something very weird and almost like borderline spiritual about it, which is odd for me to say. I'm not a very spiritual person, but when it rains, my entire like mindset changes. And I suspect this is just kind of associative psychology or something. Probably when I was a kid, I don't know, there was some really great moments or cozy moments or something that happened when I was a kid and it was raining. But it really inspires me. Like, I feel more energized. I feel inspired to craft great things. I feel more optimistic about the world when it rains. There's something about it that's sort of very mystical and magical to me. And then the light part is multifaceted, but I was actually thinking about it in terms of like an electrolyte, something that dissolves into something. And I feel like when the rain happens, I sort of dissolve into the rain and become one with it, as weird as that sounds.
No, yeah.
But I feel sort of more at one with everything. So like I said, it's like a spiritual experience almost. And and so that's kind of the surface meaning of the name Rainlight. And there's actually a much deeper meaning, which I won't talk about here, that it has like a duality meaning, and it has another meaning that I'm keeping secret to myself.
Yeah, totally fine.
But that's most of the thinking behind it.
I like it. Yeah. I think it's really interesting that you thought about some of the similar things that I was thinking, like in terms of like, how did it look? How did it like fit into like a sentence or things like that? It's pretty cool.
Yep.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm done. I was going to start rambling again.
Oh, no, you're fine. McBeersley's asking about squad night. Was it just an aspect of community building, or did it come from people wanting to play with a streamer? Like, was it kind of a way for you to be like, oh, people asking, can I play? And you're like, oh, this is a space where you can do that. Or was it all focused mainly on community building?
It was a lot of things. It was a little bit of both of those things and some more things too. So I find on stream, I actually really, I'm not a huge fan of like squatting up too much on stream. Like, I might have max one person on, and often with doing it with sort of viewers can be a bit awkward. Everyone has different charisma. You don't necessarily have their correct setup for it, et cetera, and people kind of expect a certain atmosphere when they're watching the stream, and they kind of coming for, in my case, for that rain light atmosphere. They come to your stream, they come for the wombat atmosphere.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to stay consistent with that if you're suddenly opening the gates for any viewer to come join you. And if you only do it for certain people, then it feels like favoritism or whatever. And so it feels often very kind of impractical to have viewers squatting up during stream. So I wanted a way to kind of interface and be able to squat up with those people, because I did want to squat up with them, just, you know, maybe not on stream. And so it gave me an outlet for that. It gave me an outlet for those people that wanted to come join. And most importantly, I think it was part of the community building aspect, if we get back to that, where I wanted people to be able to come into the Discord and find voice banks that are full with people that are playing games eventually.
Yeah.
This is extremely challenging to do. I know people that have communities that are literally 100,000, maybe thousands of times bigger than mine, that still have empty voice banks all the time.
Yeah.
Like all the time. Every time I check them, they're just empty. No one's playing. And there's a lot of inertia in getting people to get onto into those voice channels. And so I thought with something like squad night, we set a dedicated time. I'm there. I guarantee you there'll be a squad. If it's just you and me, that's fine. We'll have a squad.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm going to do this as an initiative. This is one of those kind of extracurricular initiatives where we get together at this time and we play Tarkov together. And it's been very successful for the most part. Part of the problem for me is I notice often if I'm not there, then it kind of like doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
Even though when I'm there, it's like everything works. There's like, we have 2 to 3 squads going at any one time. As soon as I don't show up, it kind of falls apart. People start to get more shy. They're very bad about proactively going into the voice channel, which goes again into just how challenging it is to get people to organically, proactively use those voice channels. So it's very, very challenging, but I'm already thinking of new ideas for improving that as well. I have a new initiative I'm already working on to see if I can fix it. So yeah, it's for a lot of reasons. It's the short answer.
I recently pushed all my stuff to Discord too. Like in terms of like community building stuff, not only because like, oh, like on stream is kind of weird sometimes. It just really is. And it gets kind of like, all of a sudden you have like a revolving door of people coming in and like, and then you have people coming in just because of that. And that's not really the goal of the community and stuff. I think, for me, like what it does too, is it allows me to actually have real conversations with people versus being reading chat and conversing with them. That's like, for me is like, I'm just so bad at multitasking that and actually having a real conversation. And sometimes that real conversation isn't meant to be on like stream and broadcasting in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah. Okay. We got a couple more questions. We got a lot of great questions here. But I don't know, if we can go into all of them. There's like a couple questions for me and I'm not going to go into those. Unfortunately, you can ask us anytime you want though. Promise. We actually didn't talk about this, moderation. So Exploding Mushroom asked, how do you police and moderate a chat?
That's kind of a very broad question. I'd almost need something more specific than that. But I mean, one thing I would comment on that is just, it helps to foster a community that doesn't behave poorly. Yep. That's a good start. And then as soon as you see an anomaly where someone is behaving poorly, then you can call it out. So you need to have a vision for what you want it to look like. And then when there's anomalies that, you know, whatever it may be, this sounds a little wrong now, because now it sounds like I'm saying it just because someone thinks differently, that's a problem or whatever. No, but what I mean is, if someone does something that's disruptive or negative to the community you're trying to foster, then that's something you would call out, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's a very broad question, so it's a little hard to answer.
Well, yeah,
without more specifics.
A lot of times, like when you're first starting, you're like, I just want anyone in here, and I would like one person. I don't care who the heck it is. Sometimes you get in that mindset. I just want someone in here. And the hard part is there's sometimes when you keep certain people in your community, you don't realize that other people get really annoyed by certain people who don't fit in with what your community is. And unfortunately, sometimes you have to make that tough decision, even if it hasn't been like a blatant thing. Sometimes you have to make that tough decision to be like, this is for the better good of the community. And I'm just going to, sometimes I'll have a personal conversation with that person. I'll message them and say, hey, these are some concerns I have. This is like, I would really love to have you around, but this stuff is not going to, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work with their community. And a lot of times I've had really good opportunities to like teach people a little bit more about communication and being able to talk with people and have difficult conversations versus like lashing out and just go ban, you know what I mean? It's sometimes a good opportunity. So.
Yeah. No, those messages need to be written every now and then. They're always unpleasant.
Sucks. Yeah.
But because you have to kind of craft it carefully so that you're not being, you know, rude, and you don't want to hurt their feelings either. And you also want to get the message across correctly, and you want to be firm enough, but not, you know, overbearing. So there's a lot of things to think about when you write a message like that. But yeah, occasionally someone is just, they're not quite a good fit for the community, and you need to bring up the deal breakers and let them know what they are.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I also agree. It's much harder to do when you're new, because every single viewer is so much more important when you're new than every one extra person. So yeah, but I guess I would just, my general suggestion for that would be don't sell your soul too much. You know, you can over time, you should definitely be also looking to get more, a little more picky about who you're allowing in, because every single sort of bad apple, so to speak, could really have very strong negative effects on your community. If every time you lose like a regular viewer or something because suddenly the atmosphere has changed negative, that is tragic. That is really, really bad. It's very hard to every single one of those sort of regular viewers, they're a real person, they have real feelings, you might have invested a lot of time into sort of getting to know them and all that, and vice versa as well, and you don't want to ruin that relationship. So
yeah, I think it's
nip in the bud.
That's the one thing for me that, if I'm completely honest, I can't not take, like, there's a lot of things I brush off now, we're around like the same amount of streaming, or like almost around, now doing it for this
like
long.
Like hours you've been?
No, I mean like in terms of consistency, like in terms of like how
like
long,
months?
Like when we started, yeah.
I gotcha. Okay.
And after doing it for this long, I started to see like, okay, like I, you know, mean comments don't really hit me or whatever, all that kind of stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's more of like when I lose somebody that like, I know like, man, like we had a lot of good, like a lot of time, like put in to like certain relationships and stuff. That's when it's like, dang, you know, like that still hits me pretty hard. And I think that's the right way to look at it. Like as somebody builds a community is like, you're kind of putting your heart on the line. And unfortunately, as much as like you put it out there, it's a little bit of an idea of you, unfortunately, like for people, it's a little bit of an idea of you and who you are. And that's very easy for people to give up sometimes. And so you gotta be a little bit careful of how much you like invest into certain relationships for sure. But with moderation and stuff like that, you gotta protect those relationships and those really strong people in your community versus, just a brand new person who comes in, even if they're donating to you a lot, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah.
Even if they're donating to you a lot or whatever it is, like, and that's reality. Like I've had people donate to me a lot and then be like, can I play? And can I and take over? Like, it's whoa.
Easy.
They think
you owe them something or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so misunderstand the whole donation process.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, there's another question on this, and then this will probably be our last question here. And then we'll kind of like wrap up.
Okay.
But it's on the moderation. It's a really good, like piece of like moderation, a little bit more specific. What role do mods have in promoting and growing as well as policing? Like we talked about the policing chat part, but what kind of role do they have in like promoting and growing, or what are some of those like jobs that you feel like they have or responsibilities they have?
Moderators for your channel?
Yeah. It's gonna be different for everybody, but yeah.
So I'm very, very, relaxed about mod responsibilities because I appreciate that they are a person that probably has like a job and a million other things to do. And, they're doing the moderation aspect for free. So that alone, I sort of appreciate a lot. And therefore I don't really want to push them to do too much else. Really. The only other thing I really expect from moderators is, just that they set a good example. It annoys me a little bit more when a moderator does something that I think is not fitting.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like they're sort of, you know, they kind of work as almost an enhanced representative of your community in a way. It's like if this person is kind of enforcing rules, then they have that much more responsibility to kind of set the right mood, so to speak, or maybe that's not the best word for it, not mood, but that they're setting a good example.
Hold the values of your community.
Yes. Too. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. That's a better way to phrase it. And so that's kind of the main thing I expect from moderators is just I don't have like time requirements or anything. I mean, obviously, if I like almost never see someone, maybe that's not a good set for mod.
Yeah.
And there's no hard feelings there, but I would probably drop a mod if I was to never see them in. But I don't have like set times they need to be there. Expect any more from them. I think kind of just modding is good enough and maintaining those values. And it's a little hard to even balance that. Like, cause they're a person too, that mod. And so you need to be kind of delicate with them sometimes. Sometimes they do things incorrectly. You need to kind of choose your battles about what to kind of tell them to do right. Cause you don't want to tell them like do every single thing. You don't want to micromanage every single aspect of how they behave.
Yeah.
It just kind of needs to work organically. Otherwise it's probably a bad fit. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm maybe getting a little off the rails here, but
no, that's good. Roughly what that's really. About that. I'm very similar to that because no matter who you bring on as mod and stuff like that, they're just not gonna. It's not their. Like you said, they have a life. This isn't their thing. You know, this isn't. They're not leading this community now. They're a leader in the community in a lot of ways because they're holding the values and everything. But for me, my biggest disappointment or the biggest thing that could disappoint me for somebody in my community is the fact that they would feel obligated to be there. I would absolutely hate that.
Completely agree.
And that's why when people say like, if you guys have ever seen my streams, whenever someone comes in and be like, sorry, I'm late or sorry, I, whatever. I'm like, you are not obligated to be here. And the fact that you're stopping by right now is absolutely amazing. It's like a country club. You can come and go as you please, but it's free. Okay. So like
country club. I like that.
Like for me, it's like, I want to be, I don't want to be your obligation. That's not what this is.
But Nick, are you an exclusive country club?
Yeah, exclusive. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
How does one get on the list?
You're obligated to watch. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to throw that back in me. I thought you were going to be like, I'm the one asking the questions here.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, whoa. Hold on. Do not ask me hard questions. No. That's the biggest thing to me. I think about like, I try to think about like, okay, what are the things that would make me like, would hurt is to know that somebody felt obligated. And so with my mods, right, I really try not to do that. But I think for me, like when I pick mods, I try to pick people who are passionate about growing the community and like super passionate mm-hmm. that this is actually something that like other people can experience. And mm-hmm. and that's what I really like. I mean, for me, I always shout out like Angry Tony, cause that's like my main guy. Like he, like we're transitioning over to like Stream Elements, like in like mm-hmm. that OBS.live and stuff. And he's pretty much transitioned all the commands over for me. Not by me going, hey, can you do this for me? He was just like, oh, I did this. And I'm like, and so that I like, it just moves forward the community. And he's always like interacting with people. And I think that's something that's very, very powerful, because when you have somebody like that, it almost makes me like almost emotional, because you're like, oh shoot, like I put so much time into this and I put so much hours into just try to create a place that people would care about. And when you mm-hmm. actually have somebody who finally cares that you're about what you're doing and is grabbing onto that vision, you're like, holy crap, that is insane. It's just yeah. insane. And so,
I mean, that's even better if you can get a mod that's not only good at modding, but also can take it to the next level and help you promote
but
the stream and all that.
I just would never, good. It's hard because you can never like ask some, you would never ask somebody to do something.
No,
like
no,
that.
It's one of those things that happens organically. And when it does, it's a fantastic boon.
Yeah. But hey man, I appreciate you like talking on those like and kind of giving tips and stuff. I know it's kind of weird sometimes to give tips, but that's kind of like a little bit of like why I do this. I think it's cool to like, mm-hmm. and a lot of times streamers watch these types of things because they want to see like, oh, how is that person getting to this point? And I think for you, like you've gotten to some really, really cool points and you've not only like in, oh man, you've hit this crazy viewer count, but you've grown a depth or a deep community and gotten to a depth with your community that's like insane. And I think it's very interesting you've done that as well as keep your privacy. And that's a very powerful thing as well. Not a lot of people could successfully do that. And so I appreciate you, bro. Right now I want to give you a chance for anything. Anything else you would want to share before we get done. And, if there is anything left,
let's see, what have I missed? There is one more mindset thing I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
One more mindset thing. I wrote here that you should get comfortable enough with yourself to embrace your creativity and charisma, because you will need both. And what I mean by that is, I think a lot of newer streamers, when they're getting started, they're visibly very uncomfortable with themselves.
Yeah.
And it makes for an awkward stream. And that's not a slight on them, really. It's just kind of human. You know, it's a little bit awkward broadcasting to the entire world and getting used to having a camera in front of you, a microphone in front of you, lights blasting you in the face, knowing there's a bunch of people watching potentially, or they could be watching theoretically, even if you don't have any people in there yet. So I think you need to really kind of dig deep and learn about sort of self-esteem and how you feel about yourself. Once you get more comfortable with yourself, that will allow you freedom to kind of be a little bit more of your own charismatic self.
Yeah.
If you have that, I mean, some people maybe aren't cut out for it. Like I think almost anyone could do it if they put the time and effort in, if that's something they want to do. But you're going to need to really learn to be comfortable with yourself so you can let that charisma flow. Cause if you're kind of stilted and not comfortable, then people will notice, you know, that, and also so that you can actually free flowingly be creative. Cause I think for this kind of thing, you need to be an endless font of creativity. Yeah. You need to have new ideas for, all these initiatives we talked about, which are probably one of the single most important things for growth, is coming up with new initiatives. You know, things like the game modes I talked about, you need to be very creative to come up with something like that. That's good. You know, anyone can come up with a game mode, but it needs to be something that's still entertaining at the end of the day, which is surprisingly challenging. That was the one other mindset thing I wanted to bring up. Aside from that, I think we've hit on everything. I wanted to ask you one thing, I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where the heck is it? If I could find my place here. I can't find it now, but there was something about, it was something about if one does anything besides gaming. Is there anything else you do other than gaming on stream?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this and I've realized that I've almost exclusively done gaming, unless you count things like I was training to learn how a certain jet works in DCS, which is like a, you know, a flight simulator.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like learning an actual plane when you do the full fidelity thing. You need to learn every single instrument. So that was the closest I got to doing something outside of gaming.
Yeah.
And also catching up with chat is one of my favorite pastimes. Usually I'll start like a starting soon screen.
Yeah.
And then people start chatting like a lot. And then so I get there like maybe 5-10 minutes later and I just have pages of chat and I'm like, oh crap, you know, I gotta catch up on 100% of this.
Yeah.
And I once did that for literally 2 hours. Literally 2 hours I was catching up on chat. And
you're making me look bad, bro. You're making me look bad, bro. Cause I'll be
literally 2 hours.
It passes my scroll and I'll be like, oh, you guys can copy and paste it if you want, dude. I guess. I mean,
but I was thinking about this and then I was thinking about like what other streams one could do besides gaming and things that have come up. People suggested are like doing a reading, like a read aloud stream, cooking stream and workout streams. Those are kind of probably the three main things that have come up. And I was curious which of those things kind of, I know you've done some stuff outside of gaming because you're very, very creative. You come up with, I remember you're staring one vividly. or not talking, talk I guess, rather.
Yeah. So I've done an astronaut training stream is what I called it. Okay. It wasn't a staring stream, but it's exactly what it was. So I guess a lot of the ideas that I have, which thinking about your personality type, mine, when I do these things, it might be like weird to like more analytical, like thinking people, but for me, like the other way around, like I couldn't plan out some of the moments that I create, but like that was completely on the fly. Like it was like, somebody said like, hey, did you know astronauts sit for 10 hours and, and they can't talk or can't whatever they said to sit still. I was like, I bet you I could do that or something. And they were like, no, you can't. And then, so I did it for like 5 hours, but which is probably
that's a tremendous amount of time to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did it for 5 hours on stream and just stared into the camera. And yeah, I wouldn't advise doing that, but that won't work at all. I don't know why it did. It was one of my bigger streams recently. But I've done things like cooking streams. Cooking streams are really powerful because it gives people a whole nother insight to your life. Now, yeah, it depends on how far you want to go in terms of like with your privacy and where you want to like let people in. But I would say I've done cooking streams. There was one day where it was really beautiful outside. I took my dog out to go to the restroom really quick. And I was like, I can't not be outside. So I just did an IRL stream and just like changed it over to my phone and just went out. I've done that before.
Wow.
I've done things where we paint. I've done painting streams before. And I want to do those more where we give people in advance, like what they can paint and we all just do the tutorial together kind of a thing.
That's nice.
Which is kind of cool.
Bob Ross.
Yeah. We've done a Bob Ross, like tutorial, that kind of stuff.
I love that. Yeah.
And so, yeah, we kind of do, sometimes I just come up with an idea and then we'll do it. And sometimes it works and sometimes people hate it. So it's a, whatever. No, they never said they hate it, but they just won't be there. But for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes sense because I
that's really sometimes fun to
you
hear hit,
sometimes
about.
You
that's,
don't but
I was curious about like, you know, what you've done and stuff, so it's fun to hear about.
I've done a lot of things, like things like I did a blender challenge for a long time. Like I would do that kind of like regularly where every time I lost in like Fortnite or a battle royale or whatever, every time I died I had to add something to the blender.
And so, like, will it blend like that?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Like, so it'd be like nasty stuff, it'd be disgusting, and it'd be like spam and that kind of stuff,
right?
And that was pretty fun because it was like a whole journey, kind of like
Vegemite.
Yeah, it was awful. It was awful. It was and I stopped doing it for a reason. But yeah, so it's just, I think, well, that's one of the things that a lot of people forget to talk about with streaming and streaming tutorials is like, just have fun. And sometimes for some people, they plan out streams and things like that. And I'm big on planning out streams, and especially when you're starting planning out streams. But you can still plan out moments that are really, really fun for you and for the people watching. And so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, man. I think it's a powerful thing. And so
when you're kind of really genuinely enjoying something yourself, I think that can be infectious in a good way. I agree completely. I have nothing else to add, Wombat. That was brilliant.
Well, I appreciate you coming on here, man. And hopefully this isn't the last time that we get to have your presence on the stream.
We should do it again. We should do it again. Maybe, you know, sometime down the line, and we'll see. We'll see what has changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully we've both grown personally and professionally and all that.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, thank you so much for your time, for real. I appreciate you and anyone in Rainlight's community who came in and listened to the podcast. We went a little bit longer than we normally do, but I think this was actually like really, really deep stuff. And if you guys are streamers, you might want to go back and listen again. This will be on Apple Podcast and Spotify. We won't be posting on YouTube. We're kind of figuring out what we're going to do with the interviews on YouTube at some point. But thank you guys so much for listening. This has been our interview with Rainlight. So Rainlight, thank you so much. Check him out on twitch.tv/Rainlight. It's Rainlight on everything except for Twitter. What is it on Twitter?
Rainlight underscore on Twitter. Rainlight_ Light is spelled L-Y-T-E. So it's R-A-I-N-L-Y-T.
Yes. Make sure you shout out the stream if you could. That'd be awesome, Tony. And yeah, thank you so much, bro. I really appreciate you, and I'm super, super excited to see how you really do grow that community, and not only in number but in depth even more. So
thank you so much. Likewise, and again, pleasure being on here. Thank you for having me.
All right, man.
I'll be next so you can focus.
Oh, you're good, man. See ya.
Take care.